Thank you, Dominic. And it sounds like you'll have fun with that skip. Track 2. Full circle. Love, life, photography, a home. So much in Simon Chapara's world comes around in a circle.
When Norfolk photographer Simon Chapara was 17, he won a Canon camera in the Sunday Telegraph competition. It set him on a journey which was almost derailed by a burglar, but has just seen him awarded the highest accolade the Royal Photographic Society can bestow. The journey began a couple of years after he won the Canon, when he landed a job as a roadie on the North American leg of Eric Clapton's Slowhand Tour. In the quieter moments, when he wasn't shunting pieces of heavy and expensive equipment around, he wandered about backstage with his camera, taking photos of anything and everything. "I had 160 rolls of undeveloped film when I came back. All backstage shots with people like Britt Eklund, Rod Stewart. I had candid shots. Nobody took any notice of me. I was just a roadie with a camera in the background," says Simon. He returned to his parents' home in Twickenham at the end of his adventure, left his bag in a downstairs room, and went to bed. In the morning, the house had been robbed. The camera, all the film, every souvenir, the totality of my year, gone. "I didn't own a camera from that day until I was 60. The intervening years he filled with a range of different experiences. He was an apprentice upholsterer and then went to university as a mature student, studying what was then the emerging world of environmental protection. "I was doing a degree in timber technology, which is everything you do with a tree when it is cut down, and I wanted to know what you could do to replenish those trees when they were cut down. I realised very quickly that tropical rainforests were a plundered resource," he says. As part of his studies, he began to develop ideas on how to involve local people in the protection of their own space. At the time, environmental protection tended to be of the white saviour variety. He left university and began to look for a job. "I must have had 200 rejection letters," he laughs. "I was in my 30s. Too old to be moulded into the corporate image, too independent of thought, too independent of nature. I was too much of everything." However, someone in the Caribbean heard about him and his work and turned upon his doorstep with a proposal. "2 weeks later, I was in the Caribbean rainforest cutting down trees, planting trees and all the rest of it. It turned out that the man didn't actually own the land he was harvesting. But as Simon says, at least by replanting, he was putting back something of what was taken." He settled into Jamaican life, teaching at a high school and working for a non-governmental organisation as an environmental protection officer, helping to create environmentally benign businesses. Then 9/11 happened. There was a 10-week flight ban, which sent the tourism-based economies of the Caribbean through the floor and left the islanders in desperate straits. "It all came to a head when I was robbed at shotgun point for the contents of my freezer, which was terrifying," says Simon. He left the island and was home by Christmas. It was then that fate played a hand which brought him to Norfolk, and back to his childhood love, now his wife, Patricia. The youngsters had been teenage sweethearts before parting company and leading separate lives. Simon's first visits to Norfolk were to see Tricia at her family home in a village near Horning, a home the couple still live in today. It was a complete cycle of a love story. "We had been hugely in love with each other when we were very young, grown up in entirely different adult lives, and then recollided again, and it was an instant thing," he says. He returned briefly to Jamaica, but within a few months was back in Norfolk to be with Tricia, who worked in education, helping children in the care system. Casting around for something to do, he hit on the idea of papermaking, a skill he had picked up in Jamaica using bamboo as the raw material. "I saw Norfolk Reed and thought, yeah, that will make paper. And it does. It makes lovely paper," he says. He started making artisanal products like paper lanterns and shades to sell at craft fairs, but after a couple of years had exhausted that stream of income. I decided to rub the rust off my upholstery skills and went to work for a local boat trimmer for a year. He and Tricia then built an annex in the garden to use as a workshop, and Simon set up his own successful upholstery business, which he ran until Tricia retired. It was then that his passion for photography was reignited. When I was 60, I bought myself a reasonable camera, a Sony, which was so complicated. He joined Norwich and District Photographic Society in the hope that he could learn how to use it, and quickly found his feet, winning a number of club honours. Simon describes himself as a happenstantial photographer who takes pictures of anything and everything that grabs him, often when he's out on his bike. He posts extensively across social media and has garnered a following in Japan, Venezuela, Peru, and even Ukraine. I've been told, which really touches my heart, that the only bit of sanity they have in their lives is what they see on my cycle rides, he says of his embattled East European fans. While at the club, he became aware of the Royal Society of Photographers and the series of distinction awards that they bestow. He gained the first, a licentiate, and was planning the next when he got talking to a guest speaker at a club Zoom meeting. The speaker asked if anyone had any ideas for projects. I want to make paper out of the plants that I photograph so that it becomes a complete thing. That you're holding the plant and looking at it at the same time, he said. That's a fellowship of the RPS, he was told. And so he set to work, making paper from a selection of the plants in his garden and taking photos of them with his biggest indulgence. A £14,000 Leica camera and lenses. Through a lot of trial and error, he created the work seen on these pages, learning the craft of bookbinding in the process, which he then submitted to the RPS for consideration for a fellowship. He called it the incomplete circle, being only complete once the reader has it in their hands. But there was a problem. Three tiny technical flaws made in the printing process. I was crestfallen when I was asked to resubmit, he says. So I remade the paper and remade the whole book from scratch. I have to say that the second one makes the first look really amateur. It really was a level better. This time there were no issues, and in October last year he found out that he had been awarded the prized fellowship. But Simon has not rested on his laurels. He's working on a new project, a spherical collection of images, and is an accredited photographic competition judge. And he still has wider ambitions. I'd love to be exhibited in New York and Japan, places where photography is seen as art, where it is seen as collectible and valuable. I'd love to sell 10 images a year at 10 grand each. That would be lovely. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't matter either, because it won't stop me thinking and creating. What is an RPS fellowship? The RPS fellowship was introduced 127 years ago. It's the gold standard of achievement in photography. It rewards photographers, filmmakers, and researchers who produce a body of work that is distinctive. For many photographers, gaining a distinction is the reason they joined the RPS. There are only 600 fellows worldwide, and that is why it is arguably the most respected and coveted distinction for photographers anywhere in the world. Andy Moore, Distinctions Manager for the Royal Photographic Society, says, Simon's book was awarded a fellowship in our photo book genre because he explored the subject matter to the highest level and created a truly immersive photo book that was distinctive.